Hello and welcome to The Face Downs, your source for TCG news and all things Yu-Gi-Oh! I'm Lucas.
I'm Ruben.
And I'm Joe.
And once again, we are joined. Oh, okay. Right. All right. The fourth member of the
Face Downs. Again, staking his claim above Joe in his ability to memorize the intro to our episodes, let me tell you.
All right. Well, welcome back. We're once again joined by our illustrious guest and testing partner, a member of the former Team Europrint, Dino. How are you doing, Dino?
Pretty good. Coming off of a regional top, it's a good feeling.
Yeah, pretty busy weekend all around for Yu-Gi-Oh! Joe, how has your weekend started? Or how was your weekend?
It wasn't too bad. I played Drytron for the first time, which was quite fun. Wasn't fun for anyone else, but yeah, I won the Hobby League and that was that. And then I sort of just chilled for the rest of the weekend, keeping an eye on the Auckland event. And yeah.
Yeah, well, no ban list, so same old stuff. Yep. You know, we're coming to you at a time where there has been no ban list, but I guarantee you we will stop this recording, wake up tomorrow to a ban list, and go, time to do another one. So yes, like Joe said, we have just come off a kind of a double header weekend, at least for one person who attended the regional on Sunday. This weekend, New Zealand had two regionals. We had one based in TCG Collector in Christchurch, for all the South Island players, and yesterday we had one for the North Island players in Mangere that was hosted by Shuffle and Cut. Great turnout to both events. I think 36 people, 38 people for TCG Collector, and then 73 people for Shuffle. So very large turnout. What are your thoughts on this amount of people showing up, Lucas?
Me? I don't know. It's cool. I wouldn't say it was a bad thing. I don't think anyone would.
I mean, are you surprised to see so many people?
No, not even surprised. I mean, this is kind of what events got to before the times, and everyone's been frothing to play Yu-Gi-Oh! I played a lot of people that hadn't played Yu-Gi-Oh! In a while or had just started. Regionals really bring people out. People like those deck boxes, you know? Dino, you can attest to having quite the collection.
Yeah, I'm quite a fan of having more places to stick my jank decks. it's a really great sight seeing like these 6-7 round events that are consistently happening. I remember before lockdown, we'd get consistently 5 round events and that'd be it. So it's nice having the extra couple of rounds. You can really see the people that build their decks to manage the marathon rather than just high roll to get their invites.
Yeah, it's less sacky. And also, you know, you are generally seeing better deck building in Top Cut than when you just go to Hobby.
I mean, it also makes a lot of difference because 5 rounds is only top 4, 6 rounds is top 8. So that one additional round, that 33rd person gives 4 other people a chance to succeed. So I think it's really incredible that that's kind of the turnout that we're seeing. So yeah, super busy weekend for Yu-Gi-Oh! All round. We obviously, both events had a top 8. I guess we'll start with South Island. They were on Saturday. This event was won in Swiss by, the unofficial champion of the New Zealand, Sam? Samuel?
No, it's a different Sam.
No, it's not.
No, it's the same one.
No, it's Sam.
Oh, what is it, Sam M? I thought his name was Sam John.
That's his middle name.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, well... congrats. Wow, man's really on a tear.
Yeah, well, love our content. He took out Swiss with the Tri-Brigade Luralisk build. I mean, we've talked about it. This deck is very powerful. It's really good at doing exactly 2 things. Making a huge board or Zeus, quite often both. I will say kind of as a preface, obviously, if you're not watching along with us, you won't be able to see the lists, but just as a kind of general rule of thumb, there wasn't a lot of spice in terms of like side decking, and I think that's due to the fact that this format is you're pretty able to identify said threats. And the, you know, the things that this meta can present. For example, just looking at Sam's list, you just see Droll, Drooler, Cosmic, Featherstorm, Reboot, Imperial Order. Like, I mean, I'm sure I'm not alone in the sentiment when we go, that's a lot of the same.
I think so. I think it's kind of important though. Like he knows that when going into a tournament in the Christchurch, they're always super diverse. So you just kind of put in like board breakers and like don't really worry about the specifics, I suppose, like in the format. Whereas like you'll probably find the top cut in Auckland would be, you know, more catered towards like Sword Soul and the Liberalist Tri Brigade in your side.
Mm. Well, fun fact, there were no Sword Soul decks.
There was one
Sword Soul deck in Christchurch. So anyone who prepared for that deck with token collectors was feeling real bad.
And why do you guys think that is? Why do you guys think that Christchurch just had next to no representation when in Auckland there were 10 people piloting that deck? That was over an eight, like, that was like a seventh, over a, like under a seventh of how many people showed up. Like, why do you think Sword Soul wasn't shown or didn't just show up in Christchurch?
I've played in Christchurch before and I know quite a few of the players down there. And like, I think they just really like playing Rogue and like having fun. I know that like, obviously playing Sword Soul at a tournament is probably a good idea considering it's the best deck at the moment. But I don't know. They always seem to enjoy Rogue. I mean, we even spoke in the last podcast about how they have the non-meta tournament as well. So maybe it's a little bit of that kind of going over to the regionals as well. But yeah, that's why I think anyway.
It's also very expensive.
Yeah.
Like it helps that, you know, Sword Soul is five times as expensive as pretty much every other meta deck. Like even Sam's list, aside from Droplet, you know, most of this stuff is at common or rare, reprinted in the tins. Of the two meta decks, like this is the one that you would pick if you're trying to.
It's very much the more budget friendly approach. And that's not a bad thing. Like, it's really cool when you see budget decks succeed. You know, things a la Skystriker, or not Skystriker, opposite of budget, actually, one of the most expensive. Salamangreat, literally one of the most budget friendly decks in terms of like core engine. And like you said, apart from, you know, your extra staples or things that you require. That was a very cost-effective deck, and I think that's a good testament to what gets played.
I think as well, the product delays around our legendary, was it Synchro Storm? With Sabaron was definitely a hard card to pick up in New Zealand, like going into it. So a lot of people probably just never picked up the Sword Soul like deck when it first came out in New Zealand because of the accessibility of that card. And I guess like going into the regional season, they're probably like, oh, well, you know, we'll just stick with what we've been playing for however long and not bother picking up the deck, I suppose.
Yeah, I can see that. So second place was James McIntyre in South Island, and he was piloting as the Konami are so beautifully dubbing it, Hero Trap Tricks, putting that really lovely hero category to any deck that wants to jam in a DPE. Lucas is a hero player. How do you feel about this representation?
You know, I'm happy they're getting played. I mean, Fusion Destiny is a good card.
Destroy Phoenix of Forces.
And these decks are playing more hero cards than Shadol Invoked is playing Shadol cards. So I guess to that degree, these are hero decks. But I don't know. DPE doesn't feel like a hero card, even though I love it in the hero deck. It's kind of like a bastard. Sort of, yeah, no, like Stridos was never really a hero card like back in the day either. He was a Dark Arm Dragon enabler or a totally awesome enabler. Like, heroes have never really been able to play with their own best cards without everyone else stealing them, I'd say.
Hero lives, just dark.
Still at one anyway. Because of everyone else. Yep. I blame y'all.
That's on you.
We're seeing again Trap Tricks, though, showing up a little bit more in New Zealand. Like we saw in Palmies, a couple of the Palmy tournaments, we had Trap Tricks in the top cut.
Jeffy. No Temple of the Kings. So no Temple of the less Kings, interested. No.
Replaced it with Fusion Destiny. Yeah. Crazy.
It's still a bit of a dice roll deck, but like it's a decent trap deck if you get to go first.
Yeah, Dino, what are your thoughts for like a back row deck this format? Because it seemed to be quite represented in Auckland, but didn't really perform too well. Why do you think that is? There was 7 Eldritch players.
No, I didn't see any.
I didn't end up playing against any back row decks.
Yeah, neither.
Usually because they will just lose to not seeing their engine. Because playing a back row deck, you have to play such a small engine of monsters. Like, Eldritch have like less than 10 names in the deck that like can start you on turn one. And that just loses you games and loses you matches in these longer events. Over the first couple of rounds, I saw a Zombie World Eldritch player on table one, and then he very quickly just dropped off and did not do anything. Like, just lost 2 games in a row, and he's out.
Yeah, and do you think that's because the meta is more maybe attuned, like people are not are ready to not deal with back row?
I think a lot of people respect it enough in the fact that almost every side deck had evenlies or twins or cosmics or like some combination of all of those, including every single deck should be running a red reboot right now, without question. It's almost good enough to be in the main deck, I say, personally.
Yeah. A red reboot is and was and still continues to be the answer to any trap-based strategy.
I just think the best control decks right now aren't trap decks. Like, the best control deck of the format is probably still Invoke Dogmatica Shadol, and that's, like, not a trap deck. It plays, like, three traps that are all searchable. And then everything else is just using recurrable resource engines like DPE, really, is like the main reason that forms every control deck now. And the best control decks are the ones that can play DPE, which means stuff like Altergeist that type locks them. You know, they're not quite as strong. I mean, Altergeist did well at the regional.
Yeah.
I think Martial came 10th. But that's why Eldritch is seeing so much more play. And I guess Trap Tricks, you know, they don't lock themselves very quickly. So I guess you can play DPE in it.
They don't lock themselves at all. Yeah. That's kind of the best part of it. And, you know, the brilliance of something like Serra and Kalaria is, or and even Rafflesia and Alamiris, they're unaffected by things like we see Torrential. You just blow up a board and you're like, oh, I've got all my monsters, and in fact, I'll summon something from deck now. Like,
I'm surprised he wasn't. Oh, no, I was going to say he wasn't playing Verte. He is, because you have Parallel Exceed Serra is just like full combo into DPE as well. Pretty nice.
Yeah, very, very interesting.
Exceed decks get very weird.
Yeah, they get weird fast.
Yeah. I mean, so third place we saw Earth Machine or Earth Machina. I will say, total side note, I would like to shout out, I believe it was Jameson Tuttawa at the Auckland Regionals. He was playing Gizmek.
Pure Gizmek, baby.
Pure Gizmek. And that deck looked amazing. I believe someone was like, oh yeah, pass turn. And he just went, okay, cool, kill you. Just the flattest, quickest kill. And I was like, I like that. So, I mean, Earth Machine continuing to kind of prove itself, exist in this kind of interesting scenario. It's not an FTK, once again, a little less fascinated at that one. I think all in all, though, this is pretty standard for an Earth Machine or Earth Machina deck. I really have no point of reference, unfortunately.
You just look at these cards and go, like, these are all, like, bad cards, but I guess if you draw the right combination of them, they're really good. like Tunneler, all the Infinitrak extenders, Dera Crane. It does stuff.
I mean,
for sure.
Redeployment is just like pantheism. Mm. Like, you just discard a mark and I search two cards. Like, strong.
This deck's fun.
Yeah.
I like watching it pop off. Even if, like, ultimately it doesn't do a ton going first, it still accrues a lot of advantage, and I don't know. That's fun to watch.
And Isaac's been playing this deck for a long time.
He has.
So.
He beat me with it at one event, actually. Yeah. I respected tactics too much, and then after the match, I'm like, oh, like, do you play tactics? Because it really felt like you were trying to bait out my Appaloosa, and he goes, nah. And I guess he took my advice because he's playing it now. It's really good in this deck because you just activate like 70 cards a turn, and your opponent just, if they interact with any of them, you go, cool, draw two cards, and then keep playing.
Mm. And then we have Goki.
Yeah, baby. The common charity
early forefront, or forefront runner until the format got solved.
What the hell is this deck?
And the Willy Wonka is
there's just
on.
Like, there's two Infernoble cards in here, I guess, for Azold shenanigans.
I mean, it's creative. It kind of.
Do you know what you're looking at this list?
Yeah, or like, it kind of makes sense. So, Durandal,
yes.
Such as Red Layer or Fire Flint, which are like.
Just a Warrior Extender. Extenders. Yeah.
And then Renault's just a free summon.
If you control a Fire Warrior. Oh, yes.
Yeah, you can set that up pretty easily. And then they've got the Codebreaker stuff in the extra deck, which is, I guess, I would say it's to make the second power load, but they're only on one.
No, it's to make Verte. This is like the Goki combo where you like Turbo and Appaloosa and then just make every good Link monster ever printed.
Yeah, I think so.
Going cool, funny. Yeah.
Dragoon.
Dragoon.
You know, why not?
I mean, to be honest, like, that's another talking point. This is the first one we've seen with Dragoon after the menace that we all thought it was going to be. I mean, I feel like it's pretty safe to say that Destroyer Phoenix and Vols has really asserted itself into this meta.
Yeah.
As potentially the superior fusion that's not your fusion.
I'm still looking at it.
For sure.
It's the sided one wrist Scorpio for me. That's really, that's doing it for me.
Anyway, moving on to the next deck that took confuse ourselves even more.
Oh my, okay, this is kind of based though. This is kind of hot. I like this one.
So we had Caleb this place is Monarchs. With Monarchs, yeah.
This is really interesting.
He's playing three Vanity's Ruler. Unbelievable.
I mean,
this deck's cool.
It's cool because, I mean, it's Domain Monarchs, and like people still kind of forget that like Domain is a card. Like
everyone, we literally had this Dean and I had this conversation. He's also, while I continue this, I can see the Fluanderies continuous spell in here too.
Mm.
Dean and I had this conversation that, like, sure, you can't, like, target and stuff, but Domain's still, like, a really good field spell that everyone goes, yeah, okay, that's, yep, I can't, yeah, no.
Mm. I like seeing Uncamelfried here, like, the new stuff, and, what was that, Proofless, like, the stuff everyone's like, oh, this will be playable in Monarchs. It is, I guess. Yeah,
we see the one Cellar Glare.
Yeah, this person's just playing every kind of new card that everyone was sort of hyped about for Monarchs that never did anything.
Yeah,
cool. They did something here.
This didn't break a lot, because it's on your two Adia and two Eidos.
Yeah, and it's on three Vanity's Ruler. Like,
and it's on 42 cards.
Oh my god.
Honestly, it's done.
Just draw Pantheism.
Good enough, though, I suppose. Like, to get the
it did place. Really well, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this deck is very much a, oh, I really hope I draw my Vanity's Ruler, because you cannot search it.
I mean, we call this one the guaranteed Lithium feature.
Yeah. sixth place, we had Liam Gill. I believe that you had the card Bandit Geraghty. Gill. Oh, Liam Geraghty.
Yeah.
That's, Gill came ninth.
Bridesmaid. Funny. Someone else that we know came ninth in Auckland, but we'll get there. So Geraghty, Cybus, Eldritch. I saw Riley harping on about this. I don't really know why. Like, surely this is one of the worst engines to put with Eldritch.
It's a one-card engine. Like, you just play it and do stuff.
To what? To Verte? Is that kind of the gig? Oh, it's like Dagda, Verte, Eldritch? Yeah. Okay.
Pretty much.
Wow.
It's just doing the same stuff Eldritch does. Put something else with Eldritch. Win. That's good.
The upside is your search spell, Sonic Mining. You just discard an Eldritch trap that you don't need.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
That's cool.
Which is like the only minus energy that's like.
It's like the worst Jet Synchron ever made.
Yeah, the worst Fateful Event.
The things people will do to mimic a fraction of Jet Synchron's power. Mind really.
Seventh, we had Sean Hu. This is also on Tri Brigade Luralisk. This is just regular Tri Brigade.
Yeah, for some reason, this is called Bird Up, but there's not a single. There's a TD Crow in here.
I just immediately saw three Rescue Cat, and I went, that's not the deck.
This is actually the deck that, spoiler alert, won the top cut of the Auckland Regional. And this is looking.
Came first and after top.
This is looking pretty similar. This is looking pretty hot. I mean, this deck's good.
Ain't broke, don't fix. That's really my sentiment with anything Tri Brigade related.
They are on Crossout.
Yeah, I see that too, yeah. It's like,
I think this is the first Crossout we've seen out of these deck lists.
I think there were definitely people were playing it at Auckland as well.
Mm.
I think maybe trying to like tap into some unknown spice, given that no one's been playing it. You know, no one's playing around it. For example, everyone kind of predicted that people would move to slightly more unusual hand traps, which hasn't happened. Which does mean that Crossout is safer because you can just go, well, everyone's playing Imperm, so at the very least, this just negates an Imperm, right?
Yeah,
not the worst card in the world, but you know. You can also draw extenders, I think, is what people have generally settled on. Anything spicy with this list?
Pure Tri Brigade still like has a place. Like Revolt's still a card. And Revolt DPE is like pretty nuts.
Certainly watching it yesterday, you know, Sword Soul, DPE, like they're all really cool cards, but Revolt is just so much stronger than anything else in this format. Yeah. When someone resolves a Revolt in a simplified game state, it's like the snowball happens in a turn. It's not even like Striker with Engage. It's like, no, you're dead right now. Like, immediately you are dead.
Yeah. They literally go, what, +3 or +4 from a Revolt at times? Like,
so, I mean, they're trading a card on field for a card on field that also banishes a card, and then you get to add a card. So it's +2.
Yeah, that's right. And theoretically, the foolish card as well. Yeah.
Well, all the Tri Brigade monsters go +1. So. Mm. Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, so I think it still has a place in the meta anyway. Yeah.
Yeah, and then the icon, the legend, Troy Reeves.
Let's go.
aptly named Gluru Control.
Six Solemns.
Six Solemns.
Summon Limit Tickaboo in main. Let's go.
Yeah.
Three Ref.
three tactics, three prosperity.
The thing is I've seen Troy play this deck, and like he's been playing this for like so many years now that like he knows ins and outs of it, and he knows what traps are good for like the meta where he is. So like he always mainboards everything that he knows is going to go well in Christchurch and Dunedin, and he does well. So yeah, I mean we see like most South Island events, Troy tops with like Guru. So yeah,
this is a scary deck, and actually. I do want to shout out this deck list. Not only, I mean, it's on the three Red Ice Fusion, of course, because this deck is like the Red Ice Fusion deck. But I got to give him props. He's not playing a Maastrix and he's not playing Cave Clash, two cards that, like, I think Guru players just include at this point, like, by default. And it's interesting to see someone go, you know what? No, I'm just going to play three Hidden City, three Guru, three Fiendas, one Nemesis Archer, and that is it. Oh, and two Final Battle. Yeah. Good cards, because a Maastrix can brick you. Cave Clash it's only good when you're already winning. And ultimately, this deck is kind of just Solemn, followed by Red Ice Fusion. And then, you know, he's not playing Magicalized Fusion, but, you know, you could theoretically get away with it.
It's kind of like good in this deck for the fact that you just want to get to your Guru as fast as possible. And like,
yeah, Hidden City, yeah.
And it's free, yeah. So,
I think the weakness that Guru's always had is that unlike Altergeist, it doesn't necessarily search out very easily its own resource engine. Like Guru can search Final Battle and Fiendus, but Hidden City to Guru, I think, is more important than spoofing is to Geist. Like Geist just need a multi-faker and like a silk in rotation and they can really grind out a game. But Guru need to find City because that's the way that they start playing on both players' turns.
Which makes you wonder why he's not on a terraforming.
Yeah, I was just thinking the same thing. Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I guess maybe Droll, but apart from that, I can't really think of anything.
You wouldn't. I mean, this deck can't really. I mean, you can Droll it if you want. They'd be like,
yeah,
okay, set Guru.
Yeah, yeah. So I guess it doesn't. Oh yeah,
you know,
I
think a clean 40.
Yeah, I think one of the first clean 40s we've seen. So all in all, super diverse top cut. For the South Island, you know, congratulations to all of those who did succeed. I think really the biggest takeaway for us being in Auckland, being that this event was a day before our regional, we just saw basically next to no meta. And you go, well, that's absolutely not the case. Because generally you can potentially rely on regionals to be like an indicator of what people are going to play, what people are interested in using. That was just like the barometer for that was in the next building.
I did not go into the regional going like, oh yeah, I'm really planning for the Monarch Earth Machine Guru matchup. Like it just wasn't. I was like, nah, that's some South Island stuff. I'm not gonna worry about it.
I always like watching MCOL40 like pick up the regional top cuts from our country and like going, what the heck went on here? And then, like, the comment sections are, like, losing their mind and things like that. And I just, like, scroll and laugh, really. It's quite good.
I was going to say, I hate to say that the North Island didn't deliver in that regard, but there's a couple lists in this that are maybe spicy, I suppose. But certainly not first place. I am looking at... So we're moving on to the Auckland Regional that me and Dino played.
Yeah, I guess before we break down lists, do you guys want to talk about your personal records and how you guys went through the day?
Dino, you want to talk about your personal record? I'll just sit back and enjoy hearing you.
I went 6-1 in Swiss, only losing to Luke on Drytron, who also made top 8. And that was just a bit of a series of unfortunate events. Also, sometimes you just lose the die roll to Drytron. But overall, I was mainly meta throughout the entire day. A couple of big names from New Zealand players, including the big man Kez himself. He was not happy playing the mirror.
Yeah, well, it's a very fascinating mirror. And so what did you pilot?
I piloted Tenya Sword Soul, which personally I think is just the best deck by far of the format. Almost no questions asked. And I hate it because the deck is just such a piece of white bread.
Yeah, the lack of flavor that has been seen across a lot of these deck lists is pretty evident. But again, I ring back to the kind of sentiment of like, if it's not broke, you just don't need to fix or innovate it.
Yeah,
like,
there's no reason to cut down on the Tenyes. There's no reason to cut down on Moyes. Like,
there's no reason to add Sword Soul Assessment or Auspice Chunjun. Like, there's nothing. There is. It is, I would say, probably like 95% solved.
Yeah. No, I agree.
So anyway, first place after Swiss, the only undefeated player was Conor McGrath. Is that his name?
Yes.
On 10 years Sword Soul. And boy, this list is looking real familiar. I guess only notable differences from our builds, Dino. He was on 2 Blackout, you were on 1. He played a Vessel. I didn't. You did.
No, Dino didn't.
I cut my...
Oh, you cut it? Okay, you cut Vessel. Well, clearly that...
Called by the grave.
Ah, and 44 cards.
44 cards.
A common theme amongst some of our duelists here. But, you know, DP is a card, I guess.
And then the differences in his extra deck is he was running a Crimson Blader, which
I
never saw on his field.
I mean, as you'll know with Sword Soul, like, the 14th and 15th extra deck card, like, really don't matter that much. Yeah. You can just kind of chill.
I remember when we first got this deck, like, when Burst of Destiny first came out, and we were like, okay, Qi Zhao, Qin Ying, Baron, now what?
Yeah. You know, Baxia is pretty good, like, and then...
Baxia...
Yeah, Dragite's in the gate.
And you're like, oh, I guess, like, Worm Synchros, like, I guess, like, Berserker, you know, Ruddy Berserker's, Rose is a cool 10.
Berserker's actually crazy. And Dino really liked Berserker all day. I'm pretty sure you said it was, like, one of your favorite OTK tools.
Yeah, just the ability to play, like, to pretty much force your opponent to negate your Moyes and Tires and Long Youngs, and then just go into Shaman, bring back just enough resources to get yourself to a... Draco Berserker, and that just wipes your opponent's field. The attack gain from that card is permanent. It's a disruption on your opponent's turn. It feels so good to Draco Berserker a Long Young up out of your opponent's hand.
Its effect is also pretty relevant now because there's so many cards that float, like DPE, and I even Berserkered a Long One in hand, which just fades the whole effect. Very funny.
Yeah, Dino just said that. Things like Sapphire Swallow, things like Warbler, like, okay, you can special another bird, but, like, you've lost a level one.
Yeah, that's like, relevant.
There's so many different ways that can interact. And then, obviously, you know, really, I would probably say the star show for this deck is that little main deck monster, Arch Nemesis Protoss.
It's like the uninteractive card of the deck. That's what makes it a little bit more unfair. If they stick it, they win. If they hard open it, sometimes you just lose. Like, I lost mirror games by, like, stopping all their plays, and they were just like, I don't know, Protoss? You're like, yep.
Like, sick.
Yeah. Cool.
I'll move on to second place, or?
Yep. And so winner of top eight.
Yeah, and this was the winner of the top cut, or the top eight. This was Corey. Good old Corey. Good old local. Hero Tri Brigade.
Exactly. Look at all those hero cards.
Look at all 5-6 hero cards. Again, ain't broke, don't fix. In fact, you made it better by putting a Destroyer Phoenix Forcer in here. Like, this deck is nutty. Cat is still broken. The cards that Cat summons are just as broken. And being able to set up Revolt and DPE is probably an FTK against 90% of decks this format. Like, non-targeting pops, banishes, floating, the critical mass of hand traps you can play because your engine is essentially 1 to 2 cards is crazy. Like, it's just, it is wild how good this deck gets with DPE.
I mean, 13 hand traps as well. Like, 13 hand traps with a Revolt engine is pretty much what the deck is. Like, you know, you stop your opponent from playing, you set up a Revolt, you open up, you know, you set up a DPE, and then you just sit there and just look at your opponent. And
yeah, I saw this man open 2 Gamma, draw into a third one of Ferajit, and he still won. Like, just because Revolt and just sticking some kind of interaction was enough, like, with all these hand traps. And there were some pretty cool lines where he would, like, pop his own Verte and the DPE, so he'd clear his field so that when he DPE'd on the opponent's turn, Gamma was alive. Like, there were definitely plays in this deck that we saw happen, but ultimately, what wins in this deck is that if you just have a Tri Brigade in hand, you show it to your opponent at some point, they go, yeah, I can't beat that. I'm done.
Yeah.
Yeah. One thing I did notice watching a bunch of his games is a lot of people don't realize you can imperm a cat on summon and it.
Oh, really?
With no effect if they trigger it off. Like, I
was doing that to him.
On board, he normal summons cat, they let it go.
Were these older players? Do they just think Prio is still a thing?
This was in top cut. Like, in the finals even as well, the exact same thing happened. Just normal summons cat doesn't interact with it. I'm just like, huh? And then just played into a gamma.
I'm nice.
Yeah.
Amazed.
Yeah, a cat does have, it is not a on summon effect like rabbit. So you do have to activate it.
I guess another cool thing about this deck, I mean, cool, is that Fractal is like such good ash bait that Gamma is good, and also it means Fusion Destiny is just more likely to resolve because your opponent's going to use their ash. I don't know.
You're also playing the apparently the unsung hero of this format, Access Code, legitimately forgotten to the wayside.
Which came up against Blackout, exactly.
Yep.
Because they just had two monsters and the opponent goes, that's fine, makes Access Code, one monster on field, can't Blackout, killed.
Yeah. Access Code's so powerful. Great thing. Oh, who's...
Who's this?
Yeah,
was ooh. It
Dinos?
Yeah, Dinos.
Dinos, I think, is third place here after... Dinos? Yeah.
Probably the worst Sword Soul list I've seen all day.
Yeah, kind of buck. Yeah, I mean, realistically...
A lot of two ofs in here.
Yeah.
And they were sick two ofs as well.
Whole lot of two.
You do be drawing them.
Realistically, I mean... What would you say was maybe your like highest performing card or card combo in your run, Dino?
Well, Talents was insane because every time I drew it, it resolved. But that's also Talents being just a Pot of Greed, a Change of Heart, or a Confiscation, which, like, of course that card's going to be good.
Do you think people weren't playing around it? Because I was still like very conscious of Talents every time I used a Veiler or something.
A lot of times it didn't seem like they could play around it because it was a lot of times that it resolved, it was when I was going second. I almost never got Hand Trap going first, or whenever I did, I just didn't have Talents or just played through it regardless. Yeah, apart from Talents, Barxia is insane, and like we said before, Drake of Berserker is insane.
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason you play two Barxia. Like, it's a combo piece, it's removal, it's a decent body, it's a worm.
You can.
It's not once per turn, yeah.
It can trigger your Shatana.
Yeah, one thing I'll say about Talents in Sword Soul is, like, it's definitely one of those things where it's hard to play around the Talents because, like, if you let a long one resolve and then they go into Baron, then straight away your hand trap's turned off anyway. So, like, you kind of just wasted that hand trap. And then, like, so, like, it's very easy in Sword Soul to, like, bait out the hand trap because, like, there's so many important cards that you want resolving because of being, like, a, you know, one card sort of, I'm going to get this. You know, summoning your Mo Yi, if you let a Mo Yi resolve and let the Chen Ying resolve, like, you're just in trouble, right? So, like, it's very hard to, like, stop them from, you know, profiting from the triple tactics.
It's so funny to me that Sword Soul is actually just a going second deck that pretends to be a going first deck, right? Like, it has a good turn one, but, like, this deck is insane when you go second. Yeah. And I think that's what it has over other decks this format. Another thing I noticed in this Auckland regional, so much Mystic Mine, like, not pure, like, just in decks. And you can see Dino here playing three in the side. I was playing three in the side. Drytron Mystic Mined you. Bird Up Mystic Mined me. Everyone was just Mystic Mining each other. I mean, why do you think that is, Dino? Do you think that's just the format? People have finally realized Mystic Mine is crazy in combo decks.
Why don't you talk about Joe's favorite card?
Sorry, Joe.
Mystic Mine.
The
card's just... At the very worst, it'll eat a negation. There's a lot of the back row right now. You do not want to be putting in Cosmics or Twins or anything like that against these combo decks. But they do have... Because the back row they set is always chainables, a D-barrier, it's a Featherstorm. So it's so... Like, it feels so bad putting in just a random Cosmic when you're going first or second. But then someone activates Mystic Mine, or the Mystic Mine will resolve, and you will just lose the game because you do not have an out, or your out's going to be tribute all your monsters off and drag and circle away, because anyone competent would be playing around Blackout, would be playing around like Oath, End Phase Bounce, or that sort of interaction that decks have as their outs to Mystic Mine.
Totally. Yeah, and I mean, like, combining it with Droplet, that's just basically... Like, it does feel like six copies of Droplet. It's a going second card that fades interaction that lets you OTK. Or just, like, sometimes you win the game entirely off the back of that one card.
Gross.
It's interesting. I just wonder if it's going to get hit if it starts showing up as Droplet number 5, 4, 5, and 6, you know?
I think it'll depend on... I mean, I'm sure Konami probably already decided on their ban list, but they might be waiting for the YCSs to see what it does. So, yeah, it, hopefully, for my sake and for Palmerston North's sake, it does go.
It stays. Yeah. Perfect. I agree, Joe. Yeah, it can stay. Yeah, totally fine. Well,
I certainly think it won't be everywhere, but people will slowly start to realize this card is just playable in every deck, right?
Well, yes, one of it's, the, no, sorry, continue.
It's going to be a situation of, like, vanities when it first came out. Everyone's like, no, this card's kind of, like, okay. And everyone's like, this card's crazy. Maxi, oh, this card's kind of okay. Yeah. No, this card's crazy.
But you're
I
right.
think this is the same. Chicken Game was another example. I was like, why would I pay 1,000? Oh, I just draw 3 cards.
Upstart Goblin,
like,
yeah.
Like, upstart. Well, why would I do that? Oh, I play 3 less cards in my consistent deck. You're just, it's getting to that point where, I can just play it no matter what my strategy is, which I think is where generics or pseudo floodgate effects, they start to become problematic. I think that's potentially the tipping point, because I don't think there was a problem with Mystic Mine if it dotted up here and there, but to see it at 3 in multiple side decks, that's when I personally start to go, and that's a thinker.
Dino's right that it's the format. Like, there's not a lot of good hits for Cosmic. If you think back to like the format that like Prank Kids and Tri Brigade were everywhere, like Cosmic was great because you could just hit a Revolt in standby and they just have to use it.
Which hit a Pandemonium, keep them off the fusion.
Exactly. And then if you think back to Toss format, I mean, you had Salad, Orcus, Striker as 3 of the best decks, all that, like, you're just happy to put Cosmic in against those decks, even going first, because a lot of their good plays revolved around field spells or some kind of continuous spell resolving, stuff like that. So it is format dependent. But, I mean, Mystic Mine is a card that actually has the ceiling of you win the game. And I think that card might be a little bit too good. Like, when you just play 10 Year Sword Soul, and your game plan can actually be activate Mystic Mine, and your opponent will have sided out all their mine outs because it's 10 Year Sword Soul, that's not good.
Yeah.
Well, moving on. You just look at your opponent and you go, you got an out? And they go, no.
Moving on to fourth place, we see kind of the first, I guess, rogue deck.
Oh, yeah.
Of the tournament in the top cut. So
this one's funky.
It's Jordan G. I don't know the last name there, sorry.
Grace.
Yeah.
Grace, there you go.
So Jordan's a close friend. Jordan's actually a local at Card Merchant, and I'm so happy that he topped just out the gate.
So it was his first large-scale competitive event, I believe, apart from maybe like the store extravaganzas that were being held before they kept getting shut down last year. I think his first event at this large of a caliber. Fourth place, I believe his record was X11, so that would have been 5-1-1. Fourth place.
Yeah, he's been grinding this deck out, and even said playing against you, Ruben, like, I guess helped him learn a lot more about the deck, because you were just, like, putting him through the ropes every hobby with Striker, and I think that's a pretty good deck to test against if you want to, like, add resilience or some kind of grindability to your deck. The One Desires is funky. I believe I think he put that in like last minute. He was just like looking for another card or something.
Actually, no. I feel like he was on originally 3 Desires, but that card is really bad in multiples and Live Twins. And I said, cut Desires, run something like Silent Mind. Oh, he was only on 1 home. And I'm like, because he was complaining he wasn't seeing his name, so he wanted to draw more cards. So that's when he was running 1 home. So I convinced him, run 3 home, you'll see more names, drop your desire, they're not that good. Because you want to be keeping your Scythe in deck, you want to be keeping your Twins in deck for as long as possible, so you can grind out. Like, if you banish the main deck Evil Twin, your Sunny suddenly becomes a lot worse than Graveyard, and you actually need setup before I can out something.
Yeah, and you have 1 Scythe. You know, even if you banish, like, 2 copies of one of the small ones that can summon from deck, like, that's rough, too, because then you only get to resolve 1 of them once. He did really well, and I mean, like, off the back of the fact that this is a one-card engine deck that can really easily make, you know, it can do Scythe stuff. The engine can pop the Scythe if you just draw it. This was definitely a Scythe deck, all in all.
A phenomenal OTK deck. Being able to just stun out for 1 turn, like kind of flick away resource gain, and being able to just completely come back and OTK is really powerful. I think all in all, this is it's really refreshing to see this in Auckland. Like we said, you know, this is kind of a common place. You'd see something more like this in Christchurch.
This is a South Island ass list.
This is a South Island list.
Shade at the South Island.
But no, it's like...
Tell me I'm wrong.
In terms of representation, like, I think that this is where, like, this is probably the first of the cool ones to see in a top cut of an event. But Police Cut Desires. And in fifth place...
Speaking of cool decks, it's invoked, baby!
So we have Ashley Martin on, I believe it is the now-coined Hero Shadol Invoke Dogmatica.
My favorite Hero Shadol deck.
My favorite Hero Shadol deck, all seven cards. Oh no, there's more in the extra deck, apologies. This is... We are really in 2022, and
this is a good day.
Normal summoning Alistair.
Playing two invocation, bold. You know, some people cut it to one. But you can make DPE with it, so can't be that bad.
Yeah,
right?
You can. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't have anything to say about this. Was playing token collector?
Yep.
One dystopia in the side. Are you kidding me?
Why?
Why?
Burn in time.
Burn in time.
Oh, yeah, okay, that's fair. I was like, you can't modulate as a attack.
That's literally your strategy. You're like, well, time, guess I'll just disturb your burn.
My favorite strategy in Hero, stall for time. That deck loses or wins in 7 minutes. That's never come up.
Sixth, we had Luke Dutton, fellow judge from the North Island Championships. Lovely gentleman. Sixth place with Drytron. I think this deck succeeded. And we had also Harry, you know, our friend Harry did quite well. He got what?
16th with Drytron.
2-1-1.
Pretty good record. Not 2-1. X-1-1. X-2-1, sorry.
X-2-1.
X-1-1 would have topped.
Really fascinating deck. Ratios are a touch suspicious.
Well, this is just a slightly messy, like, dueling book layout. It actually looks fine to me.
There's two orange light.
Yeah,
two
that's
ash.
Fine.
That's standard, actually, a lot of topping lists, because
that's buck wild.
Well, I mean, it's searchable. Like, you don't have to open it, and if you don't care that much about Droll, which the Dragoon decks like don't care too much.
I noticed
it's just a lot put two on board.
Of Drytron lists have dropped their Herald down to two.
Yeah.
When I've been looking them up, because I mean, I've just built the deck myself, like playing it, and like two works all right. Actually, it's like
yeah,
I quite like the three of each name.
Yeah, something this format I was actually about to say was three of each name is like every deck right now. Striker's playing three Ray, three Rose. Live Twins, you know, you want to max on every single Live Twin searcher slash name. What else? Sword Soul, you play basically three of every Sword Soul.
The birds, you're on three Fractal, three Blue, three Barrel, three
White. Like, basically, the whole way you play this format is you just have to see your best cards. Like every single game, because there's so much OTK, there's so much punish for not seeing names.
Yeah, what were you gonna say, Dino? Something pertinent to Drytron?
Something personal to this list is I hate it so much, mainly because I lost to this in Swiss and I lost to this in top 8. This is only two losses of the event.
So you're saying he's just the better duelist?
A lot of that was I was giving too much respect, which...
I mean, at the end of the day, we drink that pickle juice of respect being shown to decks that may not potentially
Luke was also the king of, I'm playing one Lance here and I just drew it. Lol.
Yeah, he really was.
45 cards he opened Token Collector versus Udino, right?
Yes.
Yep.
Extremely funny.
The, very upset.
Yep. Yeah. Seventh place, we had the International Man of Mystery and Travel, G-Man, a From Wellington Welly. Local, who participated in the Christchurch event, did terribly, and then flew up to Auckland the day of, and came seventh. On a, I believe it's a 50-card Dragon Link deck.
50-card Dragon Link DPE.
Yeah, with Gamma and Nibiru. And hand traps, which is super fascinating. Yeah.
It's the sided chamber for me.
Yeah,
he did justify that. But
yeah.
It is
so
still
speaking
funny.
With G-Man, his reasoning for not maining the chamber was it was a lot worse if you lost die rolls. And I mean, to be fair, he is also on triple black metal, which is very uncommon for the Dragon Link decks, as well as, you know, the double safer. Like, generally, you aren't really on that many black metal in like a more compact list if you are opting to put the chambers into the main. So he was just mainly, it's a more effective go first side, in which I agree. Like, realistically, you're really only getting like a bounce and then a reborn if you really need the material. It's not a lot of unique. DP is definitely interesting, but you know, once again, it's One of the best.
These are all the good dragon cards. I mean, no one's going to say that these aren't the ones you play in a Dragon Link deck. Like, there's no reason to take out Tracer, which he is playing at two. I mean, it's interesting seeing
quick launch,
50 card deck, but like two Tracer, two Safer, maxing on Black Metal Dragon. I'm sure he has like a lot of good. G-Man's the kind of guy that always like has reasons for things. And I'm sure there's a reason for Black Metal being presumably his favorite normal in the deck. Can definitely see that. I mean, it gets you advantage. It sets up your graveyard to some extent for the Collapse Serpent Wyvern Burster stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, looks pretty good.
A bit off topic of the deck, but G-Man himself, like, he has to be the most traveled player in New Zealand because
he does. Yeah,
he was at both my Palmerston North events, the Wellington Regional, the Christchurch one, and the Auckland one, all within the space of like a month and a half, 2 months.
God,
like,
what a champ!
He travels to everything, and I mean, respect to him. He bounced back from a couple of like I saw him at the Wellington Regional and he didn't do too well and he was gutted and he was like, oh, I want to go get another top. And straight away,
he's just literally topping through attrition. Yeah, like, if I go to enough events, I will top with Dragon Link. And he's not
wrong. Statistical likelihood, yeah. I will get there.
I can get behind that. I would love going like every month to a different event.
Yeah. He was playing Mech Knight Invoke for a long time and he's just moved back on to Dragon Link.
Yeah, and he said it got him zero tops, so he doesn't want to play it anymore.
Mm.
Yeah, I played against him run 3 or 4 and knowing G-Man was always on his Mech Invoke deck, I didn't realize he was in Dragon Link yet. I made him go first, and he put up the full Dragon Link board minus the DPE against me. I'm just looking at him like, huh, I shouldn't have made him go first. And then Sword Soul being Sword Soul, I just OK through it. It's such a dumb deck.
Yeah. But yeah, shout out to G-Man. Came 7th, topped, paid for his hotel by pulling a DPE as well.
Yeah.
He's making the most of playing Dragons for the last time there. Good.
There's still time before that branded fusion comes out.
Yeah. Thanks, Dimension Force. And then finally, 8th place. This was Chris. Now, he is a very new player, or at least to me, not in my circle and sphere. But he was piloting Fluanderies.
Mm.
Now, this is, again, very much like the standout list of, I think, the event, similar to how Jordan was, because this has been seeing little to no competitive success. It's kind of crazy. What are your thoughts, Luca? You and Joe play Fluanda, but like, what are your opinions on this deck in this current meta?
I don't want to be too salt about this matchup. Chris was really nice, and I liked playing against him. I did lose the die roll, and I did end up losing my match against him. And I literally just watched him make like 5 misplays like throughout the entire resource grind. Like, he ended up like losing all of his big birds at really inopportune moments, and like he tried to target Ecclesia with Riser, and I'm like, that's awesome, I'll just tag it out, stuff like that. And I still ended up losing because I just drew so bad against it, and he went first and set up barrier statue locks, and I was playing Sword Soul, like I couldn't beat it. It seems fine. Like, he was definitely drawing really well. Like, he had Robina in his opening hand practically every time, which is essentially the only one card starter in the entire deck. Interesting choice to not play 2 Empen. There were like multiple turns in a row where I could have won the game if I drew any normal summon, because he just didn't have another target in deck for Eaglin, and he was just hitting me with Empen over and over again, which seemed kind of tough. Like, I feel like only playing 3 high level names is a risk in that regard. Like, if you get ground out, you just lose.
Yeah.
Feather Duster, Lightning Storm, D Shifter, like all these cards were just really good at helping him break through boards that Fluanda definitely cannot break.
I think main decked evenly would take a lot of people off guard. But that would steal so many wins, you know, because people set up their boards sometimes without thinking about a trap that's going to banish your whole field. So.
Totally.
Yeah. I mean, super interesting. He drew like absolutely terrible in top 8.
Yeah, he bricked in top 8 after like
twice.
The most gas hands in Swiss I've ever seen.
So bad twice. It was kind of like heartbreaking to see. I mean, I think that this deck gets a lot better once Battle of Chaos comes out. Like, the amount of times that even just in top 8 alone, he just lost to the Imperm or the Veiler. Like, and I was like, wow, you just have like a copy of Journey Preparations and you are off to the races.
This deck is currently quite high roll. And like you said, you get to top cut and you look at his hand and it'll be like the continuous literally spell, two big birds and a D shifter. Yeah, and you're just like, this does nothing. Like, this deck has arguably three real starters and then a bunch of conditional starters, so it's tough.
Yeah. I will say the deck is pretty cool resolving just basically dig through time. Like, you don't care about your extra deck, you don't care about special summoning, so Prosperity and Duality continue to be free.
He did Duality into a Prosperity against me, which is just very funny. I love when people do that.
Yeah, you might as well.
You look at the three and you're like, these all suck, I'll take the Prosperity.
Yeah, I guess I'll keep looking. So yeah, all in all, and then ninth place was our lovely Kez Onslaught Soul. You know, blessed bridesmaid. So yeah, all in all, great events. Super, I would say, diverse showings. I think great competitive showings. Obviously, congratulations to Dino for making it to the top eight in this event. You know, this is the first real large event back after them COVID times. I mean, you know, congratulations to Lucas, like, actually coming, like, you didn't end up coming at 33rd.
Yeah. we kind of scrubbed out a little bit. It's fine.
And, like, you know, that's the thing, is it's like, these events are new or newer to some people. They are events that not a lot of people will have attended in the past, or obviously as of recent, because there really haven't been any. So it's a really good training ground to see where a lot of people are with the game in their own personal growth, as well as, like Lucas said, brings a lot of players out of the woodwork. Some people who go, events are back, huh? Okay.
People who, when I summoned Moye, were like, what does that do? And I'm like, interesting.
Yeah, really just been out of the meta, haven't we?
And I will say as well, there was another cool announcement at this event, if we can talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, so people can talk about my job, it's fine.
Exactly. So Ruben was head judge at this event. Ruben did not play. And it was also announced that Ruben is now the organized play manager of Yu-Gi-Oh! In New Zealand.
Ooh, clap, clap, clap.
Yeah. I mean, I already knew, of course, that was, like, in the works. But, yeah. That's super awesome. I mean, you went from, like, you know, starting Yu-Gi-Oh! A couple of years ago to now, like, running Yu-Gi-Oh! In New Zealand. That's pretty pretty extraordinary.
Order of the Spellcaster structure decks to judging events and booking premieres.
So proud of you.
Battle of Chaos is coming up, so be sure to head to your stores for those premiere events, people.
Hell yeah.
And I think the final note for us, we are, you know, very fortunate being living in the future, and we have just seen the Remote Duel YCSs conclude in America and Latin America.
Yeah, should we just do a quick sweep of the decks? Because we don't have any in the deck lists.
No deck lists. You might as well just bring up the little breakdown that we found, I think, earlier.
Like 11 Sword Soul Tenyi, 7 Luralist Tri Brigade, a couple of B Troopers, some Dogmatic and Revoke decks. One Eldritch and one.
How brave of them.
Two or three Sky Strikers as well. So, I mean, we've seen pretty much a Soul format. We're just in the banless waiting room now.
Yeah, we are. And then Latin America was won by Shadol Hero Invoke Dogmatica, which is crazy. Like, that is really the deck that is doing well. But I think all in all, like you said, Joe, we're in a banless waiting room. Those kind of decks that are succeeding are the ones that have the most resilience and diligence throughout a long form tournament. For reference, the North American event took 3 hours to get to round three. Round two took 3 hours to get to round two. I believe it was 6 hours to get to round four.
Jesus.
It was a slow burn for that one. But, you know, all in all, very solid format. Obviously, we're recording this and there is no ban list out at this moment in time. I guess, you know, I mean, I like asking this question, but, like, after playing this event, Joe, after playing locals, do you think there's anything that needs to be called for a ban after seeing it in a more competitive setting? I guess, Lucas, do you want to start?
Mystic Mind, Protoss, Harpy's Featherstorm, Scythe, and Io probably are the five cards I would say need to get banned. Not because they dominated the event. I'm just bored. I'm sick of it.
Yeah.
Mystic Mind's like the only fun one, and even then, like, it's annoying that every deck can just play it now, so.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Dino, anything from you that after playing this event that you think is maybe more of a problem, less of a problem, something that you would probably want to take away?
My big takeaway is every single deck was on at least 12 hand traps and more than that, like 15 to 18 board breakers, just because the deck's starting boards going first are so oppressive between the bird board, Protoss, and just all these random combo decks, and even Invoke Shadol, Dogmatica, Hero, blah, 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 that you just need so many hand traps and going second cards that half your deck is full of them, which limits deck building so much and limits the decks that can play well. That
it's like if you draw five of your archetype cards, you're like, ah, crap. Like,
I've lost.
I can't break any board with this. I guess maybe Sword Soul's the exception.
Which is like, I really don't like that in the format. I like it when you can play like eight hand, like I think eight is a comfortable amount of hand traps, or less than 10, where like your deck, your engine is what you play with. Like that's how I think it should be. And it's really tough seeing this format. It's just more and more hand traps, more and more going second cards, so you can actually break boards and not instantly do it going second.
So you can actually play. Like the ideal Yu-Gi-Oh format is when both players get a turn to play and then the interaction starts, right?
Yeah. Maybe that's kind of why, that's why I personally enjoy like Sky Striker, because you're like, I can't kill you. You have to do something.
Like Sky Striker matches are always fun because you don't just like see what they make turn one and scoop. You always have a chance to like capitalize on a misplay that they make, or throw a DD Crow in at like an inopportune moment for them that actually scuffs a whole turn. Like that just doesn't happen when you're going up against Sword Soul and they Protoss you. You're like, no.
Yeah, cool, sick. Joe, anything from you as the most hated man at hobby?
My like I guess gripe with this format is like, outside of Sword Soul Tenyi, it's just DPE.deck. And I think a lot like by next banlist, because I don't think it's going to be hit this banlist, by next banlist we're really going to be sick of seeing DPE on the field.
It is DPE versus the world. I mean, Tri-Brigade Luralisk is not playing DPE.
No, that's the one.
The two best decks of the format aren't playing DPE. So.
Yeah, I guess all the other decks to kind of keep up with those have to play like a DPE engine or something. You know, it's just a bit dumb. I don't like it. It limits like, as it's the Dragoon problem all over again. Where it's like, let's not play my deck. Let's just play the boss monster.
It's the Alistar threshold of like, you know, you could play your deck or you could normal Alistar. Which is better? And if your deck isn't better than normal Alistar, you should just be playing Invoked.
Listen, I only normal summon Alibur. Or not normal summon at all, with adventure tokens coming out.
I'm excited.
Yeah,
and it sounds like we've all got the same opinion about the format, that it's just filling decks full of redundant cards that we should probably just get rid of.
It's like, just on its way out, and that's fine. Like, that's kind of, it's like a healthy progression in the game, when you're like, okay, we're good. We've seen it, we've done it, we've solved it, we've played it, bring us something new.
And
I think it's time for something new.
Yeah, speaking of something new, like I feel like the biggest event in New Zealand for the first event, I should say, after the ban list, potentially will be the 3v3, which we're all going to be at. And really looking forward to that. So
post-adventure token.
Post-adventure token. No Battle of Chaos legal, but adventure tokens will be available to those who wish to attend.
God, I'm happy I don't have to design this next ban list. I actually reckon it's probably one of the toughest ban lists Konami's ever had to put out, because considering the fact that Adventure Token is going to like even further radicalize people towards going second, because it just adds an extra redundancy piece for every combo deck, it's going to be a weird one, like whether or not they just go for a massive nuke and just reset everything, or if they just unlimit a bunch of stuff to make things more chaotic. I'm not sure.
Yeah,
no one's going to be happy.
No clue.
Whatever they do.
You know, as always, free the sea, release the peace, unban the plan. That's maybe all we ask.
Yeah. Maybe that's the move. Yeah. We only have to play three hand traps, so we got max E. Just three max E, baby.
And three Ash. Yeah.
And three Ash. Yeah.
But yes, so this kind of concludes our little regional wrap-up. If this episode comes out after a ban list, apologies. We'll try and put something up as soon as possible. If it comes out before, we're still waiting. But as always, thank you so much to everyone who's listened. If you are watching along with us on YouTube, please feel free to like, comment, and subscribe. It does help. Share it with your friends. I got some lovely messages or like comments from people at the regional that they loved our podcast and they were listening to it.
Shout out to everyone who came up to me and said, I like the podcast. Yeah. That's awesome. Especially people who weren't from Auckland.
Yeah.
Feels awesome. Yeah, it feels great.
Yeah, I'm glad that you guys enjoy and we enjoy putting out content. But make sure to give us a follow on your preferred podcast app. Share it with a friend. And if you do have any questions, queries, comments, or ruling questions, please feel free to contact us at thefacedowns@gmail.com. We're probably going to try to like another.
We'll do another Q&A soon. So send in your emails, questions, comments, and under the Facebook post if you find us there as well.
Yeah. We love answering questions.
Before we forget as well, 4th of February, when's the 3v3?
5th.
For Palmy? 5th of February, Palmerston North 3v3 and Cross Banlist Tournament. Going to be fantastic. Yeah. And February 26th, Card Merchant Hamilton.
Whee!
Yes.
New franchise. New
store, as of today.
We'll be hosting a free win 2 cases of OTS something. Bode.
Something around
a
there.
Crap ton of prizing for free. Sponsored by William Giles, again, the guy who hosted the Pranky Boys tournament. doing one for us, and that is going to be absolutely phenomenal. So yeah, put that in your calendar as well.
And be sure, Auckland Anniversary Weekend for anyone in the Auckland region, be sure to hit a card merchant on, I believe, that Saturday.
29th.
For the 29th for a win a Nintendo OLED model Switch tournament. Luke and I won't be there. We'll be enjoying the Sunny Nelson. But good luck to anyone that does attend.
So, you know, go win a fourth Switch.
Yeah, go win a couple more Switches, gal. That's all we ask. But
that's all the plugging.
That's all the plugging. Be sure to follow us as well. And
like and subscribe.
Like and subscribe. And as always, thank you so much for listening. I'm Ruben.
I'm Lucas.
And I'm Joe.
And I'm Dino.
And you've been listening to
The First Day
Stars. Oh, that's a different one.
Worst one ever. Worst one ever. I love it.